Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Fitting that the first talk I give here at the Krishna Life Facility. First talk, I presume, hope there will be more. It's fitting that on this celebration day of Sri Radhashtami, I speak on Radha Katha, continuing series of talks which I've been giving around the time of Radhashtami. Krishna life, Krishna means life. Jivo jivasya jivanam. Krishna is the life of all that lives. And the aim of Krishna life is to give life to those who are as if dead. Achaitanyam idam vishvam. This whole world is as if unconscious without the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Krishna is the life, otherwise people are alive, but it's almost as if they're dead, flapping dead bodies. Who gives Krishna life is Srimati Radharani, without whom Krishna feels that life is not worth living. We've heard so many songs, poets, without you, I don't want to live. This theme, it's a perverse reflection of Krishna's feelings for Radha. She is Shakti. He is Shaktiman. Radha Purna Shakti, Krishna Purna Shaktiman. She is full energy, and Krishna is the fully energetic. There's no meaning to the all-powerful without power. It could be a title, just like a boy may be given the name Shakti, or it's quite common, or Sarveshvara. He may be given that name, but he doesn't have the power. But Krishna is complete with all power, and Radha is that power. And there's no meaning to Shakti without Shaktiman, the energy without the energetic or the source of the energy. This is the mistake that the Shaktas make, those who are called Shaktas, those who worship energy without worshipping the energetic, the source of all energy. They simply want to enjoy the energy. Therefore, they worship her as Durga, not considering that they're supposed to go out of this world, and it's hard to get out of this world. Therefore, her name is Durga. But they don't have any motive to go out of this world. So we're discussing today about Radha. Actually, today I want to speak more about the spiritual love that is Radha, Prema Rupini. She's the very form of spiritual love. I want to speak more about that than about directly Radha, just as energy and energetic, energy and the source of the energy are inseparable, just like the sun and the sunshine. The sunshine cannot exist without the sun, and the sun means that it's radiating sunshine, so both are intrinsically connected. But still, there is a difference. So Radha, her love, is for Krishna. She is what gives Krishna life. Krishna lives on love. And she is Anaya Radhita Anurnam Bhagavan Hari Rishvara. She best worships him. She best serves him. She's the best of all these servitors. Every living being is a servant of Krishna. Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arsab Bhritya. Krishna is the only one controller and all others are his servants. Jare joiche nache tare toiche kore nritta. He makes them, Krishna makes all of them dance according to, he's the puppet master and everyone, all others dance according to the way he directs them. However, as with classical physics, when we get up to the higher levels or we get more deeply into it, it breaks down. These theories break down. Then we have to go to another level. So in the same way, it is highly disputable whether Krishna controls Radha or Radha controls Krishna. Whether she dances, or she doesn't dance according to the way he directs her, not at all. And that's what he loves. So we're discussing a topic beyond the ordinary class. How many here have some insights into quantum physics? You have some insights. Do you think you could go to Stanford University and discuss with those who are on the cutting edge of research about their latest weird theories? They bring up all kinds of weird theories to try to sort it all out. But they can't sort it all out because it doesn't seem to make any sense. Science breaks down. It's no longer, it's science. It's all predictable. And we can tell you scientifically. But then when you get into quantum theory, it becomes nonsense. At least if it wasn't quantum theory, it would be considered nonsense. It's a particle. No, it's a wave. No, it's got to be one or the other. No, it's not. You're talking nonsense. Things have definite form or lack of form in the wave. And then what you do here, go a few billion light years away, and it affects something over there. Dun, dun, doesn't make sense. Okay, well, that's the same with Krishna is the supreme controller. No. Yes, he is. No, he's not. Yes, he is. It says, Krishna says right there in the Bhagavad Gita. Well, sorry. They don't discuss Bhagavad Gita in Vrindavan. Radha's the supreme control. And they're not sure. It's just like the quantum physicists are going arguing this theory, that theory, and other theory. So in Vrindavan, there are those who are sure that Krishna's in control, and there are those who are sure that Radha's in control, and they don't sort it out until the present day, and I doubt the quantum physicists will ever sort it out, ever. But this is more relishable to discuss about Radha, and we don't ever want to set it because then it becomes predictable. Science is supposed to be predictable, but Krishna Lila, Radha Krishna Lila, it's not predictable, and that's all the fun. It's all based on love. We have the word love. It's an English word. It's probably in every language. What is it in French? Comes from? More. Amor, yeah. And there's another word which sounds similar. Murta, which means death. love in this world means death. We have in Bengali Hindi, mare gelo, also died, mar gaya. Telugu? Similar. L'amour, I love you. Sounds better in French. French is a better language for loving than English. There's a saying like that, that speak French, what? Speak German to a horse, French to a woman, Spanish to God, English for business, maybe. So we're talking about love. What is the love of Krishna? Krishna knows everything. He should be able to tell you, right? Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjana bhavishani chabhutani mantu vedana kaschana. Krishna knows everything, past, present, and future. He, no one knows. He knows everything. But he can't understand Radha's love. He's God, right? Sarvagya. That's the next name I have to speak on in Vishnu Sahasranam. He knows everything. Does he know what is Radha's love? Shri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kidrisho Vanaya Eva Svadyo Yen Adbhuta Madhurima Kidrisho Vama Diya Sankhyam Chasya Madhanubhavata Kidrisham Veti Lobhat Tad Bhavardya Samajani Shachi Garba Sindho Harinduhu. Krishna thinks about Radha's love. Why does Krishna come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? What are the glories of Radha's love? What are the qualities? What is it about me that she loves me, she relishes, that makes her love me so much? What is it about me? I can't understand. What does she feel? What kind of happiness does she feel when she relishes the sweetness of that love? Krishna doesn't know. He doesn't understand. And therefore, he, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, endowed with her emotions, Radha Bhava Dyuti, and her bodily luster, appears from the womb of Shachi Mata, just like the moon appearing from the ocean. And Krishna himself doesn't understand. And how are we to understand? It's an impossibility. Still, there are classes on quantum theory. And still, it has its uses, which brings science and technology up to, it's more and more progressive and more, yeah, it's actually something you can do with it. You don't understand it, but you can do things with it, like make microchips, among many other things. And Krishna, he cannot be Krishna to understand what it means to love Krishna. So Krishna feels, I'm a male, but I don't think I should be a male. I think I should be a female. And he takes a female form. Because he has to change body to do that. So we can tell people who want to have transgender that you can have another body, but you're going to have to change. You can change your gender, but you have to change your body to do that. On the material platform. And we don't want to give rise to mass suicides or murders, but Krishna never dies. His form is eternal. The form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is eternal, but still he takes the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's with the feelings of Radha to try to understand his own love, or the love that she has for him. This love, it's gopi bhav, the famous term gopi bhav. The supreme gopi is Radha, and all the gopis of Vrindavan are expansions of her bodily form. They all feel the love for Krishna, love for Radha. Vrindavan is the land of love. There's no hatred there. There's no trying to put others down. Well, there is, but it's like that. Is it a wave or is it a point? Is it a particle? So there's no envy there, but it's full of envy. there's deliberately, by the arrangement of Yoga Maya, there is the party of Chandravali, competition. But actually there's no envy. If we find from Chaitanya Charitamrita, the heart of Radha is so pure that although she feels her cousin Chandravali to be a competitor, she also feels, if Krishna wants to be happy with her and not with me, then I'll beg her to come to Krishna. In previous talks on this subject, I touched on the topic of Manjaris, who are young girl gopis who assist specifically Radha. And when Radha and Krishna are together, they assist Radha and Krishna in their pastimes. They assist Radha. They assist the assistants of Radha. The highest aspiration among Gaudiya Vaishnavas is to become a young girl. Doesn't sound right, but that is it, to become a young girl, and not even a very prestigious young girl, a servant of a servant in a forest, not in big palaces in cities. So again, if you, the people there, they have all this thing, they want to become young, they're getting old, they don't like the lines on their face, they want to reverse old age. And we tell them, anyway, just wait a little time, and you want to be young, you'll be young again. You have to die and you'll become young again. But there is a process to become young forever. What was that, Peter Pan, was it? Or is something we used to hear in childhood. Peter Pan, they remain. Is it Peter Pan? They remain young forever. And they play forever. But I don't see the kids are particularly... when they're playing, they look happy, but they can be laughing with each other. Next moment, they'll be... Ah! They seem to suffer. When they suffer, they really suffer, right? I mean, the way they cry sounds like they're going to die or something. They're really, really emotional beings. Well, they can come close to Krishna. Krishna is emotion, right? We're talking about feelings for Krishna. The idea you should be very... Well, that was particularly, I don't know now, but that was in the British culture. They called that stiff upper lip. Don't show your emotions. Stiff upper lip means you don't smile. It doesn't go up. Stiff, not very emotional. I guess you need it if you're going to go all over the world and exploit people. But Vrindavan is the land of non-exploitation. And the highest aspiration for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas is to become a young girl and a young serving girl. We have stories in English folklore of serving girls. It's considered not a very Cinderella, because she's by the cinders. So it's not a very good job that you're just forced to work long hours and no prestige. But the aim of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, or the highest aspiration, is to become a young servant girl. And actually, what could be nicer? What a nice aspiration. We think of the Manjaris, how the young servant girls of the little bit older gopis. The Manjaris are very beautiful, very charming, polite behavior, very gentle, obedient. They dress very nicely, and they're all together, devoted to their Swamini, to Sri Radha, and they assist the older gopis who do that. And she herself is... Why do they serve her? Why do they serve her? There's no question, why do they serve her? Why do they do that? Jive Sarup Hoy Krishna Nitya Das. For them, it's their eternal position. They don't question it or think about it. Here in this world, we have to discuss so much how, why we're the eternal servants of Krishna, but in the spiritual world, there's no discussion. All discussion is over. They just do it, and they don't think about it. They don't think about it, they don't need to think about it. They're perfectly satisfied in that situation. So they just, it's just automatic for them. They're not going to, no one's going to come along with a communist manifesto and tell them, why are you doing all this service? You should all be equal. They're just exploiting you. What do you get out of it? There's no such thought. The greatest happiness is simply to serve. They're very menial, all kinds of menial service. Sweeping, gathering the clothes, making garlands, preparing food preparations. Their motive is never to enjoy, and never that I will, at some point, I'm going to become, I'll get promotion, and then I'll have others under me. They're promoted to the highest extent. There's no more promotion beyond that. They have no pride in being so beautiful and so qualified. Even though some gopis, not them, they can be very crooked and harsh superficially. But the Manjaris, they're simply sweet, sweet, sweet. Madhurya Bhav. Vrindavan is the land of Madhurya. The whole spiritual world is one of Madhurya, but it's of sweetness. But that's especially mentioned for Vrindavan. It's something like this. And the residents of Vaikuntha, they may not be very happy to hear this, but it's just like there's happiness in this material world. Is that right? No. There's no happiness in the material world. But technically speaking, there is. Technically speaking. It's like a drop of water in a desert. You say, if there's any water, is there any water in this desert? You're scorching under the heat. If you say yes, it's technically correct, but for all practical purposes, the answer is no. There's a drop of water and it's spiked with cyanide. So there's no... If we say there's no happiness in the material world, it's true. So is there sweetness in Vaikuntha? Yeah, but compared to Vrindavan. Happiness is in the spiritual world. There is happiness. Otherwise, Srila Prabhupada said, how is it that people work so hard? They'll work so hard. And he would give the example. They get up early in the morning, they rush off, get crammed into some train, crushed together for a few hours, get to the city, and go in the office, do some job they don't like, and come back late at night. And why do they do that? It's for happiness. Or at least, what is that? What is that? Shruti Sukha? What is that? In Prahlad Maharaj say, yeah, it's advertised as happiness. We've heard that it makes you happy. It doesn't really. But there is some happiness. That happiness is the happiness of drinking one's own blood in the form of discharging semen. The kind of happiness that a camel gets from chewing thorns, which make his tongue cut, and he enjoys the taste of his own blood. So there is happiness. But it's foolish, nasty happiness. So that analogy doesn't extend all the way up to Vaikuntha, because there's nothing nasty in Vaikuntha. There's nothing exploitive there. But in terms of quantity, we can get some idea. But some things are inconceivable. Even in this material world, what is it? The electron circumambulate. What's the word? It spins around, revolves around the nucleus 300 trillion times a second. So they say. Inconceivable. Yeah. Look up the stars at night. Can you see stars at night here in this? You can't see much in the city. Maybe because of all the trees you can see here. Some stars. You don't know if it's still there. You say, yeah, it's there. But it's taken so many light years to come here. You don't have any, it might not even be there anymore. You can't imagine. What does it mean, a light year? Yeah, you can say, you can't imagine what it means to live such a long time. So when we're talking about love and sweetness, we can use the words, but we can't really understand. We use the word love. You get some idea of some sickly sentimentality or some foolish attachment. But the sweetness of pure devotional service, we don't know. And therefore, that's also, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, Radha Mahima Prema Rasa Shima Jagate Janatoke. Who else but Radha herself, could make people of this world aware of that? Of her, the glories of her love. It's not possible. When even Krishna himself cannot understand the glories of her love, then how can people of this world understand it's possible? Like, it's not something to be understood exactly. It can be understood. There are books written by the Manjaris who come as Goswamis, Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, especially Rupa Goswami, analyzed Jiva Goswami analyzed all these things. But that's actually to be experienced. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives us the opportunity to experience this. I'm going to tell people out on book distribution how you can experience the highest bliss. And what do they say? I was just talking with someone in England recently. I was talking about the highest bliss. And he said, yeah, the highest bliss is the best orgasm. That was his idea.
Oh my God.
But that's what they think. That's what they think. They have nothing better. Then you become a camel. Camels should be able to have a better organ. They have large organs, right? Genitals. But the love that we're talking about is completely pure. Pure love. And there's some idea of pure love in this world. I used to see sometimes my grandmothers would introduce me to some of her friends. They never married. And why did they never marry? First World War. Their fiancé or their husband went and then they were killed, never came back, and they never married him, as opposed to, but he never came back, so they never married. They went on like that. So some idea is there, but of course it's limited and imperfect and time-bound. But Vrindavan is the land where there's the opportunity to love fully. Sounds very attractive, doesn't it? Maybe not to some people. Some people are so messed up, so badly messed up, that they don't even love, they don't even want, they don't, to them, love is a bad word. The pain, to the, they prefer the word pain. We had that started in the 1980s, didn't it? These people that wear razors and start cutting themselves and all this kind of thing. Even before that, there was Hell's Angels, and they prefer pain to love. Well, we should warn you. You want to go to Vrindavan? It's the land of love. But love is always mixed with pain. As anyone in this world knows. If you've never loved, you've never lived. But if you've loved, there's so much pain connected with it. Lovers know, poets know. And we say, well, in the spiritual world, there's love without pain. Yeah, that's true. That's in Vaikuntha. Go up to Vrindavan. Topmost love means the topmost pain. Pain, yeah, it's called Krishna Prem Agni, the fire that is Krishna Prem. It's like a fire, burning in a fire. However, that word, Krishna Prem Agni, that comes in Brihad Bhagavatamrita in relation to Yudhishthira, feeling separation from Krishna. There it is stated, to outsiders the effects of prema may seem painful. The devotee seems to burn in torment while separated from the Lord, and even while enjoying the Lord's company, he burns in apprehension of separation to come. But in fact, viraha bhav, devotional service in separation, is the highest essence of loving ecstasy. Inconceivable. About Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Charitamrita, it stated, Bhaje Bisha Jala Hoy, Bitare anandamai. It seems from outside, and it seems even to himself, that he's burning in the fire of poison. There's some poisons. They make a sensation, like very heating, burning. You feel as if you're burning from the inside. If you have a fever, you can experience that. Even outside, the temperature may be very cold, but you feel a burning from inside. But actually, internally, feeling, it's an ecstasy. The love of this material world, that is longed for, desired for, that it binds us in this material world, that deep-rooted feeling to want to enjoy in this world is called saṃsāra vāsanā. The feeling of wanting, deep-rooted. It's not a conscious desire as just, it's accepted by everyone without even thinking about it, that this is what life is all about, to enjoy in this world. But those who are spiritually developed, they know that this saṃsāra vāsanā, this desire for happiness in the material world, desire proclivity for happiness in this material world, it binds us in this world. It binds us to the pain of this world. So therefore people desire liberation. They want to go to the Brahma Jyoti or Vaikuntha or Ayodhya or Dwarka or Mathura. That's the spiritual world. But in Vrindavan, there's also saṃsāra vāsanā. But that's the desire of Radha and Krishna. The desire of them to come together. And everything in Vrindavan is meant to nourish Radha and Krishna's saṃsāra vāsanā. They have very strong desire for each other. The impersonalists, they cannot understand. Desire. We have to get, according to them, we have to be free from desire. Then we can be liberated from this world. But we find in Vrindavan the very, very powerful desire. The desire that Radha and Krishna should be happy. And to do that, to effect that, the gopis, they may chastise Krishna, Radha chastises Krishna, other gopis may chastise Krishna. It doesn't seem right what they're doing, but it's all nourishing Krishna's loving feelings. He enjoys it. That might be difficult to understand. And an example is given that a king keeps a jester because everyone is so respectful to him. But he needs someone to buffoon around with. And the jester, one of his jobs is to he has the license to insult the king in front of everyone else and make jokes about at his expense. Srila Prabhupada used to tell these Gopal Ban stories. They're famous in Bengal up to the present day. Gopal Ban, he's the court jester of some king. So one day the Gopal walks into the court and he comes a little bit forward and the king's sitting on his throne. And the king asks him, because he makes jokes with him, Gopal, what's the difference between you and an ass? And Gopal, where he's standing, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, then he's standing right next to the king and he says, 6 steps, your highness. So in this way he insults. It can be a dangerous job. But there can be a dangerous job if you overstep the boundaries. But that's it. In Vrindavan there are no boundaries. There are no boundaries. Can say anything, do anything. At least those who have the right to do so. I get a little idea of this being a guru, that everyone has to serve me and be respectful. That's right. The disciples shouldn't insult the guru. But the gopis, they insult Krishna. And Krishna enjoys it. One can take the role of a sannyasi and guru for service. You have to play out that role. And sometimes, just like we find in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was very grave. Sarvam Bhattacharya, Ramananda Rai, the great scholars, they're very grave. Scholars should generally be very grave personalities. But sometimes they enjoy fighting in the water, splashing each other, insulting each other. That should not be adopted as a part of our daily routine. Rather, we should learn how to respect all the Vaishnavas. But when one is firmly fixed in one's position of service, then if one has that particular service, then he can insult Krishna. If that's your service to do so. It's not meant for everyone. But that gives love to Krishna. That gives pleasure to Krishna. So that's one aspect of the love of the gopis, that they will insult Krishna in very severe ways. It's inconceivable. Krishna premar adbhut charit. It's inconceivable. The characteristics of love of Krishna, they are adbhut. It's adbhut gives the sense of it's always something new, always something wonderful. It's inconceivable. It's way, 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 way above us. I was giving that example of quantum theory. It's something if you study and meditate on it and try and understand, you can try and understand it. But the nature of love, it's something to be experienced. So we can have some idea. We can start to enter that. We can not by imitating it, not by imitation, but the beginning of love for Krishna begins with daina, the feeling that I'm very fallen and lowly and unqualified, and in that mood one feels he doesn't have any love. But in that mood is the beginning of love. And Rupa Goswami, who made his whole book on the nature of love of Vrindavan, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the nature of pure devotional service, he himself, there's Sanatana Goswami, he says, Na prema shravanadi bhaktir api va yoga tav va vaishnavo jnanam va shubha karma va kiyadaho sajjati rapi asti va hinartadika sadhika sadhika hinartadika sadhike twaitatapi Acheja Mula Sati, Hey Gopi Janna Vallabha Vyatayate, Ha Ha Mad Ashaiva Mam. So in this way, the Goswamis, by expressing this, they give us the beginning, even when we are actually unqualified to have any idea of that praying, they give us from our position how we can start to experience that love and that pain. Now, of course, we can say how to do that by chanting Hare Krishna, by doing service. But what are those feelings? They're feelings of total inadequacy and total depending on Krishna. So the translation Srila Prabhupada has given for this verse, which I just said, Oh my Lord, I do not have any love for you. That is another characteristic of pure love, that they feel, I don't have any love. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, I don't have any love for Krishna. I don't have any love. He is full of Radha's love for Krishna, which is so overwhelming, it overwhelms Krishna. But he feels, I have no love. And then if you say, well, we see you crying, falling on the ground, no, it's only for show. He feels like that. So Sanatana Goswami also says, Oh my Lord, I do not have any love for you, nor am I qualified for discharging devotional service by chanting and hearing. Nor do I possess the mystic power of a Vaishnava, knowledge or pious activities, nor do I belong to a very high caste family. On the whole, I do not possess anything, no qualities, no qualifications. Still, O beloved of the gopis, because you bestow your mercy on the most fallen, I have an unbreakable hope that is constantly in my heart. That hope is always giving me pain. So that feeling that I can reach out to Krishna, I'm nowhere. I'm not even eligible to start on the journey toward loving you. But still, I know you're the lover of the gopis. Why would you have anything to do with me? But because you bestow your mercy on the most fallen, I have hope. All I have is hope. I have hope in your great mercy. I'm not going anywhere, I'm not making any progress. I still have hope. That hope is giving me pain, the pain that why can't I love Krishna? Why don't I serve Krishna? This is the pain that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the mood of Radha, he felt in a great abundance, so much we can't imagine, but even a drop of a drop of a drop of that pain and that love we can start to feel by his mercy, his intense feelings in absorption of thoughts of Krishna. He's in the mood of Radha with the feeling that nothing can be worse than separation from him. That is love, when one feels that nothing can be worse than separation from him. We just had that term, Krishna Prema Agni, burning in the fire of love. The fire is preferable, but separation from Krishna, that is worse. Much, much worse. They're not even comparable. So again, it's inconceivable to us, but this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is experiencing, what Radha is experiencing. And he comes to this world and it's recorded so that we ourselves can know that it exists. Otherwise, who would know that it exists? Radha Mahima, Prema Rosha Shima, Jagate Janatoke. Who has the power to say this? And it's inconceivable how we're going out, giving out books to people who really fully fit the description of unqualified. in all respects. They're practically, they're not even qualified. Their only qualification to be called a human being is that they have a body which looks like a human being. Otherwise, not. And they're being given these books. And that becomes their qualification, that they take a book and they give some donation. That becomes their qualification. That little bit of service. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is willing to give everything. And then you say, oh, I have to become purified, I have to take so many births. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, you can come right away. That is his mercy. Krishna is the very form of all sweetness, and Radha is completely, completely absorbed in Krishna. Krishna's sweetness, Krishna's beauty, Krishna's love, Krishna's bliss. So the pain of separation from that, which we all desire. We all desire beauty, love, sweetness. And Krishna is the very form of that. And Radha, she can unite with Krishna and then again become separated. And the pain of separation, when you have it, some people may give up altogether and then they become masochists or sadists or psychopaths. They've given up, they've blocked out from their consciousness the possibility of love. But then when you can have it, and have it in the extreme to the full, and then you're taken away by fate. Fate takes you away. These are the pastimes of Vrindavan. That Radha and Krishna are forcibly separated. But that pain of separation means more intense contemplation of each other, of Radha and Krishna, and their bliss increases. And Krishna couldn't understand this, therefore he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he wants everyone to know about it. The people aren't qualified, they can't understand, but it's so good that even though people are unqualified, they can't understand, but by his mercy, he wants them to be part of this. It's so good, because there's no envy. It's not that he wants to take it all for himself. It's only for me. But Radha wants that Krishna, Lampata, he doesn't stick with one woman. He wants to enjoy all the... How many... Sometimes they protest. Krishna has 16,108 wives. It's too many. What are you talking about? Every jiva is Prakriti. It's unlimited. And Krishna wants to enjoy them all. So what's 16,108? It's a ridiculously small number. Krishna wants to enjoy them all. And Radha knows this, that Krishna, he has unlimited sexual proclivity. He's unlimited desire to enjoy and unlimited ability to enjoy. And his enjoyment means he wants others to serve him. And by doing so they become happy. And this is the highest level that she herself experiences. But she's not envious. She doesn't want to keep it for us. Let everyone enjoy this. So she herself, she sends other gopis to Krishna. They don't want to come. But then when she insists, then okay, you'll go. And she gets more pleasure seeing other gopis enjoy with Krishna. Although they actually wonder, what am I doing here? Krishna should be with Radha. So it's absolute selflessness. That is the basis of love. Love means giving. Not that I want to take everything and bottle it up all for myself. But then again, there's coming together. And then again, separation, which occasions intense remembrance of him, because he is all bliss, then remembrance of him, thinking of Krishna and being with Krishna, it's the same, although there's a different flavor and a different intensity in that. We're talking about it. How can we even talk about this? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, Krishnadas Kaviraj wrote the all the acharyas came, Srila Prabhupada translated these books. We can talk about it. If we talk about it, we can start to feel about it at our own very poor level. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he may manifest himself to us. He wants to manifest himself to us. He wants that his own private land, where there's that intense bliss, which is not even imaginable, even in Vaikuntha, he wants that everyone should know about that and participate. Why is Vrindavan so blissful? That is Radha Padankita Dham, Jaranam Vrindavan, because it's touched by the lotus feet, marked by the lotus feet of Radha. She is Hladini Shakti. She is the potency of bliss of Krishna. So this is his most important. Parasya Shakti Vividhaiva Shruyate Svabhavaki Jnana Bala Kriyacha. Krishna, though the Supreme, has so many potencies, among which are prominent and well known are his knowledge potency, his natural characteristics, probably his power potency, or his ability to get things done. So that's known for God. He has all these powers, unlimited powers. But his most important potency, which he keeps for himself, is Hladini Shakti, the bliss potency. But her nature is that she wants to, she has her own individuality also, and she wants to expand that and share that and imbue everyone with that so that they give Krishna more and more pleasure. And there's no question of competition. No one's going to come up and take over Radha's position. There's no question, because even as we are trying to advance in Krishna consciousness, we come closer to Krishna. Krishna has the ability to accommodate unlimited lovers. And even if we Krishna's ability to reciprocate is unlimited, and even if we advance, then Radha's love for Krishna is also expanding. No one can catch up, and no one wants to catch. The whole idea of catching up and becoming a rival, that's what we call the perverted reflection of the spiritual world, where in the spiritual world everyone is cooperating to enhance Krishna's pleasure. And in the material world, everyone is competing to try to make themselves the center and make themselves the center of pleasure. But it's pain. The Vrajvasis feel pain in separation from Krishna, and Krishna feels pain in separation from them. It's the highest bliss, but are we really ready? Are we really ready to accept that? In Vaikuntha, it's nice. Everything's under control. Everything's very peaceful. There's no pain. It's all happiness. They know about Vrindavan. They heard about it, but they're not attracted to go there. Why should you go? They're quite happy wherever they are. But Gaudiya Vaishnavism heads to Vrindavan. And Gaudiya Vaishnavism, then, it means pain. We're telling people, you come out of the pain of this material world. Go to Vaikuntha, the land of no anxiety. But ultimately, the land of love. All the munis, the rishis, they're all trying to get free from pain. They accept so much pain to get free from pain. They go, Aruhya Kritshrena. Kritsha means pain. They accept difficulties, very severe difficulties. To Aruhya Kritshrena, Parangpadam, to get up to the spiritual position, they accept so much pain. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, forget all this pain, just chant Hare Krishna. Easy process. But you get the pain comes later. Easy process. And give yourself fully. In the end is cheating, right? No pain. There's no such thing. Love, sweetness, there's always the concomitant side, the pain. But again, we have to understand that Bhaje Vishajala Jala, Bitare Anandamai. That it's burning pain, but it's all bliss. If you're not ready, then don't. You don't have to. You can chant Hare Krishna and go to Vaikuntha, go to Ayodhya, go to Dwaraka, go to Mathura. Go to the heavenly planets if you want by chanting Hare Krishna. But Smeram Bhangi Traya Parichitam Sachi Vistiyana Dushtim Vangshi Niyastadhara Kishalayam Ujvalam Chandrakena Govindakyam Haritanam Ita Kishitirto Pakante Ma Prekshit Tas Tabayadi Sake Bandhu Sange Stiranga. Rupa Goswami gives a warning, my dear friends, if you're still attached to your worldly friends, to the samsara vasana of this world, do not go to Keshi Tirtha, do not go to Vrindavan, do not see Govinda with his smiling face on the bank of the Yamuna, playing his flute with his sidelong glances, his flute on his lips, which seemed like newly blossoming twigs, his transcendental body bent in three places, very bright in the moonlight. Don't go. You want to be happy in material existence? Don't go there. Run the other way. He's saying, run, run, go, 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 leave it there. But be careful. If we want material life, then we won't get that. If we want material pain, we'll get it for sure. No one wants material pain. But if we want love of Krishna, then we can't have material. We can't have any material happiness. Sangsara bhashana mor kobe tucha hobe Narottam Das prays. When will my material desires become insignificant? Crooked, yeah. This love of Krishna is also crooked. Ahair eva gatir prena. Just like the snake. The snake move. It doesn't go straight. It's got a coil and crooked motion. So the movement of love is crooked. So to become, enter into Vrindavan means to become crooked. That we won't, it's not very straight, it's not very straightforward. It's, in Vaikuntha everything is clear. There's Vaikunthanath, Lakshmi, everyone is serving them. Everything very straightforward, clear, no problems. Vaikuntha, no anxiety. Vrindavan, it's turmoil, chaos. You know, what's going on? No one's really sure what's going on at all. Yashoda, she doesn't know. Krishna's going out at night with the gopis. Radha's Kutila and Jatila, they're they think they know, but they can never pin them down. Even the cowherd boys don't know where Krishna, he was with us, where did he go? He's snuck away at midday to Radhakund. No one's really sure what's going to happen next. No one can say. It's wild pastimes. So, who wants to join our movement? Are you sure you're ready for this pain? It's not physical pain, but we have to choose this pain, either the pain of this material world, or which is painful, or the pain of the spiritual world, which is blissful. It's not masochism, but the same word is used, but the import is different, because the spiritual world is the land of bliss and love and happiness. So even the pain is bliss and love and happiness, whereas the pain in this material world is a world of exploitation and real pain and real suffering. So the suffering of this world is really, it's really intense. It's an ocean of tears. So we have to choose either this material pain, or which comes from what? From desire. You don't even have to be, you don't have to read Bhagavad Gita to understand this. Lord Buddha could understand by his analysis that this world is full of suffering. Suffering comes from desire. So the whole Buddhist project is to get free from desire, that samsara vasana, the desire for happiness in this material world. But Krishna has it also. He also has samsara vasana, and that's just stated right in the Gita Govinda. Kaṃsārya rapi samsāra vāsana badha śrīṅkhalāṁ rādhaṁ ādhaya hṛdaye tatyāja vrajya sundarīhi. Krishna is bound up by desire for samsāra, for material love. Therefore, he who is the enemy of Kaṃsa, in this verse, Jayadeva Goswami used the word Kaṃsari, the enemy of Kaṃsa. He can kill big demons. Kaṃsa is afraid of Krishna. Krishna is so powerful. But Krishna is bound up. Saṃsāra vāsana badha śrīṅkhalāṁ. He's bound up by the chain of love for Radha. And therefore, when she left the Rasalila dance, Krishna left also. He had to follow her. In the material samsara vasana means that we're always suffering. I expected bliss, but I couldn't get what I wanted. I want so many things, I can't get it. Or we get it, but unexpectedly it gives us pain, just like love in this material world. Vishayendriya samyogad yattadagre mritopamam pariname vishameva tatsukam rajasam smitam. Pain in the love in this material world is conducted in the mode of passion, in which in the beginning it seems like nectar, but it turns to poison. And no one ever expects it. It happens, 8 billion people in the world, something like that. So it happens billions of times, even in this world at this time. And it's been going on since time immemorial, but no one ever expects it. They think, but this girl is different. They never expect it. The power of Maya is such that we always think it's going to... And even if very good girl, marry her, very good wife, very devoted, but still there's pain. You have to work to maintain the household. That is, there are so many other things, but that in itself is enough pain. So repeatedly, it's unexpected. Repeatedly, unexpected pain. That is inevitable. Yehi sang sparshaja bhoga dukkha yonaya evate adyantavanta kaunteya nateshu ramate buddhaha. Pain comes, the whole project, the whole endeavor of trying to enjoy through the senses, the interaction of the senses with the sense objects, just automatically gives rise to pain, to suffering. Therefore, an intelligent person doesn't take part in this. However, if one is very intelligent, then he can do quantum theory. If one is very intelligent, you can say, yeah, that's true at this level, but you go up to another level, and then you go to Vrindavan, the land of pain. Principles which work at one level, they don't work at another level. There's no square root of a negative integer, basic mathematics. Go to a higher level, there is. It's as long as you're in the low level, it's even when you go to the higher level, you can't really explain it, but it just works. So you get on with it. It's beyond intelligence, but it works, so you use it. So at the lower level, it's true, there cannot be. But when you get to a higher level, it is. Well, can you explain that to me? No. Then it doesn't make sense. You're right, it doesn't make sense. But it's accepted by those who are on a higher level, and there's no use to argue, because it just is, that's all. So what's going on in Vrindavan? Who can say? Krishna himself doesn't understand it. However, you can't have both. Sangsara basana mo kobe tucha hobe. Then, bishoya charya kobe shuddha hobe man tobe hama herabo shri Vrindavan. When one is free from material desires, then one can enter into Vrindavan. Then, rupa raghunatha pade hoibe akuti tobe hama bujbo shri jugala piriti. Understanding, it can be understood. What is this jugal piriti, this love of Radha and Krishna? Can be understood. Can be understood by serving the lotus feet of Rupa and Raghunath. Yeah, by their mercy, they can bless us with understanding. So we should all serve Rupa and Raghunath. What does that mean? We should go to Vrindavan, become a Babaji. They have their books. Their books are there. You have the books. Today's Radhashtami. Radhashtami is all about service. Radha is the compassionate aspect of Krishna. She's all about mercy. How do we relate with Radha? She's only to be enjoyed by Krishna. She's only for Krishna. But we can also relate with her by service, and also she's so merciful. She gives out her mercy, and she becomes very, very pleased if we assist her dear devotees, of whom Srila Prabhupada is a very, very dear devotee. He blesses Krishna. He told Krishna, "You have to empower me to spread Krishna consciousness in the Western world. And if you do so, then Radharani will be very happy with you." So Prabhupada is blessing Krishna. You can bless her. I'll see that Radha's happy with you, but you have to bless me first of all. Then I'll bless you. So Radharani is blessing this whole endeavor of spreading Krishna consciousness. Today is Radhashtami. You can best serve Radha. Don't run off to Vrindavan. Radha Kun, what will you do? If for Radha Kun, for those of us who have materialistic samsara vasana, material desires, then simply Radha Kund will be at Narak Kund. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, the pit of hell. We won't find Radha. Where will you find Radha? You'll find her out on the streets of Atlanta today, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. You're giving out the teachings of Lord Chaitanya?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you're giving that out. So there you go. You can distribute. You can tell everyone, today is Radha's birthday, and we want you to participate in this. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna means, O Radha, O Krishna, please engage me in your service. So that's what she wants you to do right now. Service means you have to do what you're asked to do. So do it. Hare Krishna. That's all for now. The rest of this class is you do it. Practical. Vantaka, you have a question?
Guru Maharaj, the Premagni that you were speaking about, you know, could that be experienced by feeling separation from the spiritual master?
The feelings that we have for that, when we talk about love of Srila Prabhupada, we're not talking about material love. It's inextricably linked with love of Krishna. So yeah, it's of the same nature. But not to the extreme. Srila Prabhupada came to tell us about Krishna. So he himself, when disciples wanted to seemingly promote him more than Krishna, he would direct them, no, I came to tell you about Krishna. We do find in Ramanuja Sampradaya, that's very strong, the devotees who are... Well, that was... Who was that? Who was it? Kuresh is there, and Goshtapurna, he was meditating all day, and was it Ramanuja asked him, what is the mantra you meditate? And he said, for me, the supreme mantra is the lotus feet of my guru, Yamunacharya. Mm. So that is there. But the thing is, the two are inextricable. Just like we're talking about mantra, Shirupa Manjari Pada, Shemora Shampada. So when we're talking about serving Rupa Manjari, that means serving Radha and Krishna through her. So it's all linked. There's no such thing as I love Rupa Manjari but I don't care about Radha. It's ridiculous. The only way you can love her is to, in some way, if you can assist in her service. She's not interested in anything else. She's not interested in any love separate from that. So in the same way, if we're going to talk about love for our guru, it's not possible to love him on the material platform. You can have that some on the material platform, but that's not what he came to this world to reciprocate with us. Maybe his wife and his children, they loved him, but... They didn't see, they never saw Prabhupada. You know that in Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, there's the professor who came to the Bhaktivinoda Asan after Bhaktivinoda Thakur had passed away and said, Saraswati, he was saying, oh, I had so much relationship with Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he would personally serve me sweets, he would give me so much respect. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, you never saw him. Now, what are you talking about? For years I knew him and we had the reciprocation and you were there, you saw it. He said, you never saw him.
So, Guru Maharaj, when Narottam Das Thakur is speaking about Pashane Kutibo Mata Anale Pasibo. You know, so this
explain it for others.
Narottam Das Thakur says he'll bash his head against a rock and enter into a fire if he doesn't find Lord Chaitanya, the reservoir of all good qualities. So this Anale Pasibo, this fire that he's speaking about, you know, like could we understand it?
He's already entered the fire. Right. By that, but he's already experiencing worse than fire.
Is the fire of Sankirtan, can it be compared to the Anala that he's speaking about?
No, what he's talking about there is, whatever I have to, the point is, if I don't get the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, maybe it's something like this. You know, what's that called, that cream you put on your head, that Amritanjan? You have a headache, you put Amritanjan on your forehead. It burns. But that burning is more pleasant than the headache. So you cover one pain with another pain. And it feels like you're getting some relief. So that's the feeling. Something like that. Narottam Das has. I can speculate on that.
Guru Maharaj, you were explaining how Radha wants everyone to enjoy by serving Krishna. She takes everyone to Krishna. And that this is the highest level. Yet, we see that this is stated as the external reason of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, whereas the internal reason is for him to relish it. Why is that called external? Why is this called
external? Well, for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there's deho dehi vibhedo yam nesare vidyate kvachit. There's no difference between his inside and his outside. But his external, because that is in relation to the material world, and internal, because that's his internal feelings. That's one way of looking at it. It doesn't mean that it's unimportant, or that when you really get to the highest level, you forget all this preaching and you just go and do bhajan. It can be also. It can be that you do that, but it's not that you graduate from preaching to bhajan.
There's another question. You mentioned in the beginning of the class how there's no discussion of in the spiritual world. Yet Goswamis, who are residents of the spiritual world, come to this world and are very adept in explaining the nature of the spiritual world and what goes on over there. In the material world, our experience is that if we do not discuss Krishna Katha, we do not discuss about Krishna, we forget Krishna. What causes this forgetfulness that here in the material world we are not able to, if we do not discuss Krishna constantly, if we do not, then we forget him. In the spiritual world, they do not discuss these subjects, yet they are aware.
Yeah, and that awareness is the default consciousness of the spiritual world, whereas the default consciousness of the material world is forgetfulness of Krishna. But probably they are always discussing, and sometimes it's pent up inside because they can't do due to circumstance. They're either discussing or they're personally with Krishna, interrelating with Krishna.
Guru Maharaj, so you were mentioning this pain of service, how a devotee...
Pain of?
Service, that he's serving and he's feeling that I'm not able to serve Krishna and that he's...
Pain of love.
Mm. So how does that devotee go on if he's feeling so much pain? How does he then keep on going in his
How does he keep on going in service? Because his dedication is to service, not to how I'm experiencing bliss. Pushes himself on. Doesn't allow himself to be overwhelmed with ecstasy. That, to the extent that he can't serve. That example is given in Nectar of Devotion, of Daruka was fanning Krishna and he was feeling, he becoming stunned, and he said, oh, to hell with this, get it. I don't want to be stunned, I want to fan Krishna.
Guru Maharaj, I've heard from the Sri Vaishnav Sampradaya how there is Bhudevi, Sri Devi, and there is competition between them, and then they have whole temple festivals in the Ranganath temple where Ranganath goes and spends some time at another temple, and then he comes back. Lakshmi Devi and her servant shut the door to the temple, and then they throw, and Namalwar has to come and resolve the conflict. And so some similarity.
Something is there, yeah. I suspect that it became more developed around the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I suspect that. This Annamacharya, he wrote so many songs of the love of Lakshmi Vaikuntha Nayaka for the Lord. I suspect it's something that's worth of research. But we have the seed of, at least chronologically, although it's not really chronologically because these are all eternal pastimes, but as is often pointed out, the seed of the gopi prem is there in the alavas. The seed of that is there.
Yeah, and several of the alvar pasarams actually very, they speak about these things, and then you're speaking of Annamacharya, he has sung a song, Jojo Achyutananda, where it's a little like Vatsalya, where they're trying to put the Lord to sleep.
Oh, it's very strong, Vatsalya, they have that. This Narayan Srinivas, he wrote a book that Blessing the Lord, that feelings are there. But Raghunath Das, he warns about getting thrown down to Vaikuntha. Don't make offenses in Vrindavan, you might get thrown down to Vaikuntha. These are matters which we shouldn't try to do one-upmanship on the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. So, talking about the devotee feeling like he can't serve Krishna adequately, that he's not capable, that's like the qualification of a pure devotee, right? So I'm just wondering.
Well, we're supposed to start to develop that right at the very beginning. If we're thinking I'm serving Krishna very well, if we start to think, then we really we don't get off the neophyte platform.
Is it that the pure devotee has like the unlimited
desire? Yeah, pure
desire.
Devotion starts at madhyamadhika, the medium level. Yeah, what is the question?
Well,
I'm just trying to clarify this, because often we think pure devotee is someone who's, well, it is someone who's completely free from all material desires and is directly seeing the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, but pure devotee begins from anyabhilashita shunyam jnanakamadhyanavritam anukulyena krishnanushilanam bhaktirutama. It begins from the resolve to seriously practice the path of pure devotion, free of material desires, free of any other desires.
Thank you very much. So
on that basis, Srila Prabhupada said, all my disciples are pure devotees.
So is that like a pure devotee means like their desire to serve is like unlimitedly surpasses their actual capability to serve?
That's a good point. It's the desire to serve surpasses our capacity, but then Krishna will bless or Bhakti Devi will bless with the capacity to do so. But the desires always increase also.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Do you understand that?
A little bit, yeah. Thank you.
It's all inconceivable. Hare Krishna. Matadis, any question? Yeah, there's one.
Gumaraj, I recently found myself inspired by competing in book distribution, but I know I desperately need to cultivate the mood of selflessness. So can you please help me understand my apparent contradiction?
Contradiction, competitiveness in book distribution. Srila Prabhupada encouraged that, competitiveness in book distribution. And he gave the example that this devotee has served Krishna so nicely, let me see if I can also do. It's not competitiveness to put others down, but it's competitive. The unlimited internal potency, how far can we dive deep into that? And access it and be blessed by that. So it's a competition to serve Krishna more and more and more. But even if one succeeds in outdoing someone else in serving, but the devotee always thinks that I didn't do anything. And those who are doing book distribution, they have that experience. As soon as you start to think, I'm doing well, then it's finished. Nothing happens. It's like the puppet becomes disconnected from the strings. So... The connection is by prayer in a humble service mood that connects us. So, Hare Krishna. Looking for Indra Dev's mercy today in.
Then, being compassionate.
Krishna has changed his plan. Krishna has commanded Indra Dev to act differently.
Let's see. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Radha Ashtami ki jai.